The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
45th President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. Every decision on trade, on taxes, on immigration, on foreign affairs will be made to benefit American workers and American families.
Violent protests on the campus of UC Berkeley. After this mob outside turned
the United mob. States will withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord.
Congressman Steve Scalise of Louisiana, the third ranking Republican in the House, is in critical condition tonight after a shooting that has shaken this great capital.
Breaking news from Charlottesville, Virginia. That is the scene over the last 24 hours of violent clashes.
You look at both sides. I think there's blame on both sides, and I have no doubt about it, and you don't have any doubt about it either.
Out of Las Vegas, where there is an active shooter situation.
At least 59 now dead, more than 500 injured.
We're following this breaking news out of Sutherland Springs, Texas, a shooting taking place at the First Baptist Church there.
And they're looking close to 27 deceased and over 24 injured.
Hurricane Harvey intensifying rapidly.
The longest named storm to torture Texas now in history.
This would be the costliest natural disaster in American history.
We're getting a year's worth of rainfall falling in a couple of days.
Irma is now the strongest hurricane to ever plow into the Leeward Islands.
An entire island laid waste. It's utter devastation. 90% of the buildings on the tiny Caribbean paradise of Barbuda have been destroyed.
It took only seconds to bring this region to its knees. A devastating, earth-altering 7.1 magnitude quake Tuesday.
We just lost the building.
Rattling Mexico City.
The death toll now officially stands at about 200. That number will rise.
The first pictures now coming in from Puerto Rico after taking a direct hit. Hurricane Maria slamming into the island, and as you heard, one official saying the island is destroyed.
Our house is on fire and needing assistance evacuating.
For 2 weeks, this fire has been going on now. 270,000 acres, the third largest in California history. Unbelievable. It's nearly the 420 square miles, almost the size of the city of San Antonio.
Scorching more than 7,000 acres of the iconic hills surrounding the country's second largest city. A wall of smoke towering above LA neighborhoods.
Flames leaping over the Pacific Coast Highway.
Los Angeles is dealing with the biggest wildfire in the city's history.
Somebody's under fire. Is he coming?
An attack in the heart of London. A man reportedly armed with a knife is shot by police. Reports also emerging this hour of people being mowed down by a car on Westminster Bridge.
Or the deadly truck attack in Sweden. With all the hallmarks of terrorism, the attacker using a vehicle as a weapon. That stolen truck speeding for blocks down a crowded pedestrian mall, then slamming into a department store, people running for their lives.
At least four are dead, more than a dozen injured, nine of them critical.
Developments out of Manchester, England, reports of an explosion at an Ariana Grande concert.
The victims killed, we're talking about children, we're talking about teenagers, young girls going out to have a great time to watch one of their favorite pop stars. Instead, ending up in a bloodbath.
Hey,
8 minutes.
Londoners today reckoning with what happened in those 8 chaotic minutes of terror.
A white van heading south on London Bridge suddenly swerves off the road, up on the sidewalk, and accelerates, running down pedestrians. 3 men get out, armed with long knives, head towards the bustling Borough Market, and begin slashing and stabbing people indiscriminately.
Screams and panic tonight on Barcelona's most famous pedestrian street. We're running from a van that plowed into crowds on the street.
More than 300 people are dead and hundreds more have been seriously injured as Somalia's capital suffers its worst attack to date.
We are here on the scene of the deadliest terror attack in this city since 9/11. The weapon, of course, a truck. Authorities say the suspect deliberately veering onto a path for bicyclists and pedestrians, speeding down the path. The commissioner telling me striking people for almost a mile. Along that path, 8 people killed.
Terror attack at a crowded mosque in Egypt that left at least 305 worshippers dead and 128 injured.
An attack in one of the holiest places of Jerusalem, near Lion's Gate. 3 gunmen opened fire just after 7 in the morning on Friday.
All 3 terrorists were shot and killed.
The Israeli Prime Minister is insisting that not only will these metal detectors stay in place, but Israel will also erect security cameras overlooking the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound.
Another day of tensions, arrests and scuffles around the entrance to Al-Aqsa Mosque. Israel defends the extra security measures as a necessary response to Friday's attack.
The U.S. is blaming the Syrian government of Bashar al-Assad for a deadly chemical attack on its own people.
Tried in as many as 100 people killed, according to some humanitarian group.
Barrage of American cruise missiles directed at a Syrian airbase.
A targeted military strike on the airfield in Syria from where the chemical attack was launched.
The Syrian military says 4 Israeli jets entered Syrian airspace from Lebanese airspace and struck a military site near Palmyra. The Israeli Air Force confirmed the strike, but just said several targets were struck.
It is time to officially recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
The president's announcement set off a wave of warnings across the Middle East.
The Palestinian president Mahmoud Abbas said that he believed that this disqualified America, disqualified the U.S. from being a negotiator.
European leaders and China have both voiced their concerns. And today, even the Pope spoke out.
The United Nations in New York, where the General Assembly has voted to condemn Trump's decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. 128 nations voted for the resolution.
The United States will remember this day in which it was singled out for attack in the General Assembly.
Putin made a surprise visit to Syria to announce the withdrawal of Russian forces.
Putin says the country's 2-year campaign to destroy the Islamic State has been completed.
North Korea test firing another ballistic missile.
Say North Korea fired an intermediate range missile. This is a missile that traveled about 300 miles.
It was North Korea's own version of fireworks for the 4th of July. The communist state today fired off a new missile that may, someday, put the United States within range of its weapons.
The missile flew for about 40 minutes, reaching an altitude of more than 1,500 miles.
A North Korean missile has been fired at Hokkaido. The message over the tannoy: take cover. This is the 18th missile to be launched by North Korea this year alone, and this one flew over Japan's northern island.
North Korea claims it has successfully tested a hydrogen bomb.
North Korea launched another intercontinental ballistic missile, this one with greater range than any fired by the communist North to date.
Experts tell us North Korea can now launch a missile over 7,500 miles on a flattened trajectory, putting every city in the United States now in range if the warhead survives reentry.
Buoyed by a big election win, Shinzo Abe has vowed strong countermeasures against North Korea. The victory saw the Japanese PM retain his supermajority, strengthening his long-term goal of changing Japan's pacifist constitution.
If Abe stays for a third term, he would be the longest-serving prime minister in post-war Japan.
Japanese helicopter carrier set to escort U.S. Navy ship for the first time. This is the first time Japan's Navy has made this kind of deployment after new legislation was passed allowing for such action.
Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's cabinet has approved the country's biggest annual defense budget.
During his 5 years as China's president, Xi Jinping has overseen an era of increased assertiveness and authoritarianism.
What we heard today was Xi Jinping outline his vision for national rejuvenation.
China launched its first Type 055 destroyer, the most advanced surface combatant ship ever built at home.
China has dispatched troops to its first overseas military base in Djibouti along the Horn of Africa.
China has launched its second aircraft carrier, but the first it has ever built from scratch.
This is the new reality for the Chinese leader Xi Jinping, who now stands alongside Chairman Mao in the pantheon of the country's iconic leaders. Mr. Xi's name and his political thought have been written into the very document that modern China is built upon.
The Article 50 process is now underway, and in accordance with the wishes of the British people, the United Kingdom is leaving the European Union. This is an historic moment.
It's official. The United Kingdom is starting its divorce proceedings from the European Union.
I want us to be a truly global Britain, the best friend and neighbour to our European partners, but a country that reaches beyond the borders of Europe too.
I have just chaired a meeting of the Cabinet where we agreed that the government should call a general election.
It was dismissed as merely an internal Labour revolution, but it grew and it grew. It became a popular uprising. Theresa May's snap election pumped oxygen into Corbyn's movement.
This campaign has demonstrated him as a leader.
Those who a year ago were calling for him to resign now accept he's the leader. Corbyn isn't in government, but he's knocking at the gate.
A massive fire in a high-rise out of London. Firefighters struggling to contain that blaze that has now engulfed this major residential building.
I'm afraid to say there are now 79 people that we believe are either dead or missing, and I have sadly have to presume are dead.
Another case of nationalism rising in Europe.
Geert Wilders and his far-right Freedom Party with its anti-immigrant, anti-EU agenda. In the event, his strong pre-election showing withered in the sharp focus of the campaign.
Centrist candidate Emmanuel Macron celebrating a decisive victory over the far-right's Marine Le Pen.
Protesters are taking to the streets in Hamburg, Germany right now, protesting the G20 summit. Supposedly 100,000 protesters were...
It was a night of celebration for the AfD party following its historic surge in Germany's federal election.
Historic vote that's changed the face of the country.
Weeks of negotiations since the federal election in September have failed to form a cohesive government.
She could try and start talks again, or they could talk about new elections.
For the time being, we're not going to see any firm leadership coming from Germany.
Right-wing parties chalked up more victories in Europe over the weekend.
Austria's foreign minister will become Europe's youngest leader. Sebastian Kurz is celebrating what he calls a historic victory.
Austria will be the only Western European state to have the far-right in government.
The entire political spectrum, including the Social Democrats, has moved to the right.
Election success for a billionaire businessman with an anti-establishment message. Andrei Babiš has drawn comparisons with Donald Trump.
Representatives from all but five European Union member states just signed on to a cooperative defense pact. Members agree to increase defense spending and develop joint military capabilities. The intended result is to cut wasteful spending on...
Natürlich in Freundschaft mit den Vereinigten Staaten von Amerika, in Freundschaft mit Großbritannien.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel says that Europe must become an active diplomatic player in world affairs and take its own fate into its own hands.
Germany's defense minister has unveiled a new cyber army that will eventually number thousands of staff.
And when we look at the size and makeup of the new unit, it's going to be quite large. We're talking about 13,500 troops being brought into this cyber commando unit.
A joint meeting of European Union foreign and defence ministers. They have agreed to create an EU headquarters for military operations abroad. European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker has made it clear he wants to see an EU army created.
You're living in a world that is erupting, a world that is changing so drastically, so rapidly.
Well, there you have it, the 2017 year in review, capped off there by some closing remarks from Herbert Armstrong many, many years ago. The world that we're living in today, so much trouble. So much trouble. We've had a couple of pieces at thetrumpet.com just in the past few days by Richard Palmer and Jeremiah Jacques, who have basically summed up some of the most important stories of the year. And in the case of Jeremiah's piece, I mean, he shows where so many in this world are focused. They're not concentrating on the real significant questions. As he asked in a piece, I think it's at his blog page right now, this top Google searches for 2017, and so many searches revolved around the question, how do hurricanes form? How do wildfires start? How far can North Korean missiles go? I mean, will they reach the United States? We want to know the exact range. How many refugees are there in the world? How many in Europe? How many illegal immigrants in the United States? There's some searches, quite a few, in fact, on how to make a protest sign so that we can take to the streets and protest big government or protest racial inequality. How to be a superhero? That's a question on a Google search. A lot of people concerned about that or wondering about that. And of course, from a few months back, how to watch the eclipse. That got some big headlines a few months ago. A lot of people very curious. How do we sort this out so that we can view this once in a lifetime event? And as Jeremiah brings out in his piece, I mean, you can certainly ask how, and there's something to be said for that. But as we focus on at the Trumpet, the Trumpet magazine, thetrumpet.com, we tell you why. That's what everyone should be asking. Why are these events happening? Why so much weather upsets? Why is there so much war and conflict? Why are there so many terrorist attacks? What are the answers to... Why is North Korea aiming to fire a nuclear bomb at the United States or wherever? As Jeremiah brings out in his piece, I mean, for all of these how questions, how do hurricanes form, we take the other approach. Why natural disasters? That's the title of our booklet. It goes by that name. Why hurricanes? Why are we experiencing these record-breaking weather disasters? Why are there so many of them? Why are they intensifying? What does your Bible have to say about it? Your Bible dares to tell you why. It sure does. Imagine being concerned only about the range of these North Korean missiles. Why is North Korea headed up by a maniac? And why is he being assisted by Russia? And why is China not intervening? Why won't China stop North Korea? These are all questions we looked at thetrumpet.com this past week, or rather this past year. We tell you why. You're not going to be able to go to the Trumpet to figure out how to make a protest sign, but we can certainly tell you why these protests are intensifying. Why the rioting? Why the violence? Why the violence in Baltimore? We even had an article earlier this year about the fascination with superheroes. Here people are running Google searches about how to be a superhero. And we tell you why there's this fascination. We even had a pretty popular article at that on the solar eclipse. We told you why it was proof of God and his astounding power. We didn't have anything on there about how to watch the eclipse. You can get that anywhere else. But why? I mean, it shows why God is creator. It shows why God is our maker. If you have eyes to see, I would encourage you to Go and read Jeremiah Jacques' piece from earlier this week. In 2017, the world asked, why? In 2017, the trumpet asked, why? The world, rather, asked, how? You can look at those Google searches from 2017. So many of them, as Jeremiah brought out, focuses on the question, how? And as he said, there's something to be said for that. But if we don't know why, then what do we know? At the end of his article, he references the incredible human potential. And in fact, when he concluded his article with that paragraph, I thought of the three lectures that we focus in on in the doctrines class at God's College. What is the gospel about? And it elaborates on the opening pages of that book, The Incredible Human Potential, the quote that Jeremiah uses at the end of his piece. This is from Herbert Armstrong in his book, The Incredible Human Potential. Mr. Armstrong asks, why no world peace? Why all this world's evils? Why can't science give us the answers? Mr. Armstrong says, these questions are the most important in human life. Why aren't people concerned? Why aren't people concerned about these questions? Why aren't they asking these questions? Earlier this week, we talked about the origins of the Christmas holiday. Went through that Times piece on Monday, the repaganizing of Christmas. I mean, there's a lot of astounding truth, and there was a lot of astounding revelations in that article. The history, the roots, where Christmas comes from. But why aren't people concerned about pagan roots? Why? Why, even in the face of all this evidence that it comes from pagan Babylonian customs, why do people keep right on doing what they're doing? It's a good question. But why aren't more people concerned about the truth? And more so, why aren't they doing something with the truth? Well, with respect to the first question that Mr. Armstrong asked in that particular quote, why no world peace? He, in The Incredible Human Potential, he talks about how he travels all over the world as an unofficial ambassador for world peace. This was, of course, back in the 70s and 80s. Mr. Armstrong died in 1986. But he said in IHP, I discuss world problems, evils, and world peace with many heads of government, kings, presidents, prime ministers, and those high in the government, leaders in science, education, commerce, and industry. I have not been called, and therefore make no effort to bring about world peace, but serving as an ambassador of the power that will bring peace in our time. He says about the leaders of this world, most of them are of superior ability, yet they are unable, utterly unable, to abolish world evils or bring about world peace. And you see that clearly in just listening to one 10 or 15 minute montage. Maybe you've heard a lot of them this past week or two, with all these news organizations reminding us of what happened in 2017. But why are these things happening? He says, many scientists and leaders say that the only hope for world peace is the formation of a supreme world government controlling the world's sole military power. Yet in the same breath, they admit the utter impossibility of this, claiming that such supreme world power in human hands would enslave us all. So we don't have it. We don't have the supreme world government. We don't really have the world's policemen anymore in the United States of America, with America in retreat. Of course, the United Nations, that body, has just become an anti-Israel, anti-American joke, pretty much. We talked about that last week. They were very hopeful back in 1945 with the establishment of that organization, the UN. Mr. Armstrong wasn't. He was at the same conference. He was there in the halls of the UN, or at least the conference in San Francisco that got it all off the ground. And Mr. Armstrong said, I see the seeds here for the next war. And since the establishment of the UN, the world has seen something like 200 wars since 1945. Tens of millions of people killed. Most recently, you look at the atrocity in Syria. Hundreds of thousands slaughtered in that civil war. Tens of millions of refugees. I don't even know the exact number. Most recently, again, all of these refugees just streaming into Europe. Why is this happening? Why is there so much conflict? Why is there so much division? Why is there no peace? As Mr. Armstrong said, why no world peace? Why all of this evil? Well, your Bible answers. Isaiah 59 and verse 8 says, the way of peace they know not, and there's no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goes therein shall not know peace. They don't know the way to peace. Now, that says something about human nature that this world also does not know about. There is a way to peace. Isaiah, he implies that in the same verse. It's just that human beings don't know the way. We won't go the way to peace. Over in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says about human nature, there is none that does good, no, not one. What does that tell you about human nature? What does Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 tell you about human nature? Or Romans 8 and verse 7? Paul said in Romans 3 here, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. He's paraphrasing Isaiah 59. It's Old Testament and New, the same message. Paul said there is no fear of God in their eyes. They don't fear God. They won't submit to God's authority. They don't look to God and his perfect law of liberty. And so they continue on fighting. This is why there's so much evil. This is why science hasn't given us the answers. And this is why people aren't concerned. There is none that does good. No, not one. They're not concerned about it. We talk about how wonderful this particular season is. I have an article here. It's later on in my notes, but it's about the rise of drunkenness at this time of year, particularly here in the UK. The Daily Mail, it seems, has a feature every year at this time with all of these graphic photos of young people all over the UK just passed out, throwing up in the streets, being collected by trucks sent out by the NHS so that they can sober up. Too much partying, too much drunkenness, spilling into the streets of Britain. I went through a story yesterday about America and just the decline of religion and morality. And there's a piece, I forget where it was. I think it was Cal Thomas, the UK's consequential embrace of secularism. And he refers to the Daily Mail and what you often see on the streets of Britain at this time of year. Any references in his piece, the some revival back in 1904 in Wales. All kinds of people, tens of thousands showing up. He mentions the Billy Graham Crusade in 60 years ago or so, with 120,000 people showing up at Wembley Stadium over the course of 12 weeks. This Christian revival, as he called it. Of course, we would have something to say about the traditions of traditional Christianity. But the point that Cal Thomas makes in his piece is that when there is this sort of concentration, focus, interest on religion, you see less crime. You see less violence. He used the example in Wales from early in the 1900s, referencing this book that wrote about that so-called spiritual revival. And this guy says the social impact was astounding. For example, judges were presented with white gloves, not a case to try, no robberies, no burglaries, no rapes, no murders, and no embezzlements, nothing. District councils held emergency meetings to discuss what to do with the police now that they were unemployed. They didn't need the police back in the early 1900s. In some areas, they didn't need the police because there wasn't much crime. Today, I mean, Britain's become so secular, even the BBC is looking to try to put more religious programming on. I think Cal Thomas says they have one program for BBC 1, 2, and 3, all these channels, and they've got one religious program. And the BBC's saying, well, maybe we need to have a little bit more. I mean, we've become so secular. And of course, on comes all of the commentators to mock that, to ridicule that. So what do we need? A program about the end is near? What do we need? A program that tells us we're getting close to the return of Christ? That the world's about to explode? There was a column in the Times of London. This is supposedly the same paper that exposed the true origins of Christmas just on Monday. The same paper that we quote from often. Lots of good reporting in that publication. But here comes the commentators from the right and the left. We don't need religious programming. Come on. We don't need to bring God into this. We just need to keep living the way we've been living. And go ahead and send out the inebriated trucks full of drunks. Pick them up. Let's take care of them. We know it puts quite a burden on NHS here in the UK. The hospital system, we know there's a lot more serious issues that we need to be dealing with in the national healthcare system. But at this time of year, I mean, we've got to take care of the partiers. We've got to take care of the drunks that are in the streets, passed out. Why are these things happening? Why are so many people turning to this kind of addiction? To this means of escape? Selfish revelers who turn up at A&E could be placed in drunk tanks, according to NHS proposals. That's from the Telegraph today. And it has the NHS chief executive coming forward saying, look, NHS doesn't stand for National Hangover Service. They've got to take care of themselves. It's overburdening the system. The strain on emergency wards intensifies on Friday and Saturday evenings, while 70% of attendances over the Christmas period are believed to be alcohol-related. That's life in the UK today. Life in the UK. Live it up. Tomorrow we might die, so let's live it up. We don't know the way to peace. There's no fear of God before our eyes. The Apostle James 4 and verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lusts that war in your members? This is why. James is basically saying, why war and fighting? Why is there so much division and strife? Isn't it because of the lusts in your own members? Isn't it because of human nature, which worships self? Well, there's a solution to this. There is a way, as I said. What is the way to peace among nations, between individuals, and between groups? That's what Mr. Armstrong asked in The Incredible Human Potential. What is the way to peace? The way to peace was revealed by Jesus Christ when he came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom of God. Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, repent you, and believe the gospel." The time that it started right then, the time for preparing for the kingdom, started with a few disciples to be taught and trained as Christ students. The establishment then of the church, the true church, the one true church, that would be called out in advance of the rest in this world, to be prepared as teachers, as kings, as future kings and priests, to assist Jesus Christ on his throne after his return. Mr. Armstrong writes in The Incredible Human Potential, "Few indeed know that Jesus Christ came not as a religious leader on a soul-saving crusade, but as a pioneer news forecaster. No man of historic note has been so completely misrepresented, so utterly, utterly misunderstood. He came as a messenger," Mr. Armstrong says, "with a message from God Almighty to mankind. His message was big news, a vital and sensational news announcement for the future. It announced world peace. It announced the way to peace." He says it was good news for the future, proclaimed as an advance announcement of assured and certain world peace in our time. He goes on to talk about the meaning of the word gospel. It means good news. It was a good news message. It was an advance announcement of assured and certain world peace. Jesus Christ came to this earth as the Prince of Peace. He's coming back as the Prince of Peace to establish God's government, government and peace, as it says in Isaiah 9. Government and peace. He is the way, in other words. The way to peace. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If we have time later on in the program, we will run through some emails that have come in over the past week. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Untold thousands of professing Christian ministers have, over the centuries, preached Christ. They have professed to be his ministers, to represent him. They have said Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, but they have withheld Christ's gospel. Thus, the vast majority of people on earth have been deceived by false gospels. The Incredible Human Potential reveals how men were deceived about the truth of the gospel, and it makes plain what the good news of the true gospel really is. The true gospel of God's coming kingdom is directly concerned with world conditions as they are, with human nature, its source and origin, with world evils, suffering, unhappiness, with world peace. It's concerned with government, with the reason present human governments fail to be the benefactors of their peoples they are supposed to be. This all-important subject is thoroughly explained in Herbert Armstrong's book, The Incredible Human Potential. Request The Incredible Human Potential today. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
As I mentioned at the top of the show, Richard Palmer also had a piece earlier this week that does a good job of summarizing some of the events of this past calendar year, 2017, a year of military milestones. He talks some about just the articles that have appeared at thetrumpet.com, similar to what Jeremiah did with his piece about telling you why why these events are significant. In Richard's case, he refers back to some pieces at thetrumpet.com about China, for example, launching its first homemade aircraft carrier and then its first homemade destroyer, establishing an overseas military base for the first time in Djibouti. That was, I think, in the montage there at the top of the program. Japan is militarizing itself, particularly with the threat coming from North Korea. You heard some about that also in the opening montage. And then, of course, the big news in Europe. And a lot still needs to come together. But when you come through a year where German troops are returning to the streets of Germany for the first time since World War II, when you come to a year, this is 2017, when the EU agrees to form a military headquarters, and when 25 EU nations come together to sign an agreement for their militaries to work more closely together. I mean, this is significant. This is a momentous year. As Richard said in his piece, it's clear that the world is militarizing. And that trend is set to continue in 2018. I mean, in this next year on the calendar, global defense spending, it's going to rise to its highest level since the end of the Cold War. These are the times that we're entering into. And there's a reason for it. Even if you leave aside Bible prophecy, the reason for it is because of the United States' decline. Richard says in foreign policy circles, it's described as the rise of the West or the post-American world. In all these different regions, the one common trend is the declining presence of the U.S. Europe no longer believes America will defend it, so it's looking to itself. The same is true for U.S. allies in Asia. Richard says in his book, A History of the English-Speaking Peoples Since 1900, Andrew Roberts warned that the most costly wars in modern history have arisen whenever there is confusion about which is the world's preeminent power. When you lose the world's lone superpower, the world's policeman, well, it's just like when the police, when they stop heading into the inner city for fear of what might be videotaped, for what might be considered as police brutality, if the police say, that's fine, hands off for me, then what happens in Baltimore? What happens in St. Louis? What happens in Chicago? What happens in the world when you have the lone world superpower that's been since the World War II ended? It's been the world policeman. Richard says, no wonder there are so many firsts in the military events of 2017. Nations are getting ready for a new era. They're getting ready for the post-American world. So they're arming themselves. Nicholas Burns had a piece in the USA Today, I think yesterday or the day before. Comes from the left politically. And so, you know, some of this column is a shot at President Trump for sure. But he talks about President Trump and bringing the United States to the brink of a historic break with Europe. And we've talked about that a lot on this program. Again, even if a lot of the things that President Trump says is right, just looking at it from a pro-American standpoint, we're paying for everything and Europe's not paying hardly anything. It's time for them to pay their fair share. But still, what is this leading to? It's leading to this historic break. He says here in his article, this is Nicholas Burns, Trump is the first U.S. president since World War II who does not seem to consider himself the leader of the Democratic West. His populist American First platform has opened deep fissures in his relations with European leaders. Further on in the article, it says it is thus not surprising that in a new poll by the German firm Körber Stiftung, 88% of Germans say their country's priority defense partner should be the EU and not the United States. So they're preparing to go it alone. And all of these military firsts that Richard talks about in his post from earlier in the week at thetrumpet.com, that's why we're seeing these things happen and happen so fast. A Pew poll this summer illuminated a similar decline in European confidence in Washington since Trump assumed the presidency, with 62% of Germans holding an unfavorable view of America. And of course, for them to really pick at that point, America first, is, as a political piece points out also this week, is pretty hypocritical for Germans to be all upset about that, considering the policies that Germany puts out there are Germany first. It's that way for every nation. That's human nature, as I said in the first segment. But where is this split between the United States and Europe leading? What does your Bible have to say about it? Why is this happening? The Politico piece that I mentioned, the title of that one is Germany Puts Germany First. We're going to see a lot more of that in the months ahead. Forget about America first. What happens when Germany puts Germany first? And what happens when the rest in the world are saying, Germany, be more assertive. Be more self-absorbed. Be more militaristic. That's what so many are calling for. The Politico piece says American political leaders have long explained their country's foreign policies as a form of enlightened self-interest. Their German counterparts have gone out of their way to portray themselves as guided by enlightened selflessness. That's the way they see themselves. It says, and the election of U.S. President Donald Trump has provided Germans with ripe opportunities to contrast their cooperative internationalist outlook with the president's America First nationalism. So all these spokespeople for Germany now coming forward, talking about, look, we're selfless. We're thinking about the international community. And unfortunately now, the United States isn't doing that. And this is bad. It's bad for the United States. It's bad for the world. The German foreign minister, Sigmar Gabriel, he gave a speech earlier this year. I think this was from September, where he talked about the differences between the United States and Germany, and Germany's motto, or contrasting it anyway with America's new motto. There's a short clip here from his speech, Mr. Gabriel's speech at the UN in September.
We've learned that it was not Germany first that made our country strong and prosperous. What gave us Germans peace and prosperity was European and international responsibility first.
Right, it didn't have anything to do with Germany first. It's because they're so benevolent and so internationally minded that they've become this economic superpower. And we might add, because of all of the funding and the protection provided by the United States of America. Now the United States says, that's it, that's all we have. We can't give any more. You've got to go it alone. And the United States is to share a lot of the blame for building up this monster. And we've talked about that routinely on this program. But isn't it fascinating to watch this split, this break in the alliance? And now Germany has. It has the economy. It has the history. It has the ability to become very militaristic and fast. And particularly when you, like I covered last week, I believe it was, when you start bringing all these 25 groups together, eventually we know it'll be 10. Well, this article at Politico, it goes through some of the same things so many other commentators have talked about. Look, Germany's got to put more into its defense. Its military is under-equipped. It should be contributing to the continent's military defense or military union. He says, this is a commentator at Politico, today the only people afraid of Germany are Germans. That's it. That's the only problem. The only people afraid of them are Germans. So what are you waiting for? It says at the end of this piece, as demonstrated by the rise of the Alternative for Germany, the first far-right party to enter the Bundestag in decades, Germany is becoming more like a normal European country, warts and all. It's time to stop pretending otherwise. Look, we're just like any other nation. Germany first. Why carry on with this charade? Why pretend like we're this way when we really aren't? Let's just put Germany first and get on with it. They're getting on with it. And so many nations around them, including the United States, are applauding it. That's true. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with a few statistics, an update of sorts, and also we'll go through a few emails that have come in over this past week. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
In his trumpet brief yesterday, Joel Hilliker talked about Jerusalem, how our minds are on Jerusalem. He mentioned some of the excitement in God's work right now with a new excavation about to start in Jerusalem, and 12 of our AC students and alumni joining Brent Noctegal over in Jerusalem for this upcoming dig in the city that God will yet choose. Jerusalem is on our minds. It's also on our minds because of the many headlines we've been seeing about this city. As Mr. Hilliker brings out in his brief, he refers to the latest Trumpet magazine, the February 2018 issue, Jerusalem, How the Wrangling Over the Holy City Hastens Bible Prophecy. Why is it happening? Well, I mean, here the United States recognizes Jerusalem and says it's going to move its embassy there. Why and where is this leading? All of that is answered in the next issue of the Trumpet magazine. Mr. Hilliker emailed me last night saying that just since that email went out last evening, just in the few hours after it, 15 people signed up for a Trumpet subscription just because of one Trumpet brief. We added, speaking of subscriptions, we added 196 people to the Trumpet brief subscription list just this past week, bringing our total subscribers up to 20,060. We're up over 20,000, as I said earlier this week. But then you send out one brief to those 20,000 people, and within a couple of hours, 15 subscribed to the Trumpet magazine. Some good numbers continuing to come in regarding this unique publication that dares to tell you why. It's not filled with lots of questions about how. How far do those missiles go? How do we make a protest sign? How do we view the solar eclipse? The Trumpet answers why. That's what makes it so unique. A few emails that have come in this past week. This in response to Vladimir Putin. Is he really so bad? I think Richard Palmer wrote that last week. Well done, it says here, Mr. Palmer. Thank you for reminding us point by point of just how evil Vladimir Putin really is. I think in this end time, we need to be reminded of who we're dealing with. We tend to forget and say, yeah, he's a pretty bad guy. No, we need to remember, this is an evil man who Satan is using for some very frightening purposes. It says early on, right after the election, or possibly before it, I remember Mr. Fleury stating Mr. Trump should be ashamed of wanting to be Vladimir Putin's friend, and he should be. That comes from Denver. Another one in response to that brief on Vladimir Putin. It says, good article. Unfortunately, it's very slanted towards propagandist rhetoric. Uh-oh. Richard ran into some trouble, evidently. Being something of an expert, this man says, on U.S.-Russia relations, Your portrayal of Chechens as victims is sickening and grossly inaccurate. You're talking about terrorists who have attacked schools in Beslan, besieged opera houses in Moscow, and ignited bombs in Boston. If anyone from your staff feels like debating these issues, please don't hesitate to contact me. So I went ahead and forwarded him Sam's email address. And hopefully Sam will win that debate. He's got a lot riding on this. I'm just kidding. I didn't send him our email address. In any event, every once in a while we do get some few that don't agree with what we're producing. Here's one that came in from Peru. Please use your position to encourage Americans to pray for President Trump and America as never before in our history. That's coming from one that I think has a lot of hope in this current administration. There is no hope in man. I mean, the Bible does say to pray for those in this world, even world leaders, but you certainly pray within the context of thy kingdom come, God's kingdom come. Another one here says, thank you for your wonderful insight. Yes, I would love your publication. I've been involved in the Trumpet publication for many years. Unfortunately, I am homeless now and don't have a permanent address, but my email address. Thank you, and may God bless you this as this next year approaches. So we do get responses from people of all walks of life and from all over the world, as you can see here. That brings us to the end of this week of broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Thank you for joining us this week. We'll see you next week.